as you can see on the screen, you will never die. Isn't that good news? If you're saved, you will never die. Some of you be like, well, I'm going to die. Preacher, I was buried somebody yesterday. And they ain't dead. They ain't dead. Not inside. They ain't dead. Their flesh may go away, but they're not dead. We escape death and hell through the blood of Jesus. And we have everlasting life promised to us through his word. And so I'm excited about teaching on this tonight. You know, we've been talking a lot the last several weeks about the future. You know, and you know, as a minister, and I know Pastor Mike can attest to this, he takes you through seasons of what you kind of minister on. You go through a season of something, then God will move you a different direction. You'll kind of do a season of that, maybe a different direction. And the last few weeks, we've been talking a lot about the future, about where our soul really goes, about life after death, about this world doesn't mean anything if you gain it all, but you lose your soul. What have you gained? Nothing. And we see a lot of people struggling to try to equate success here through things, through money, through possessions, through position, when that's not success at all. The greatest testimony any of us can have is to say, Jesus loved me, and I love him. The greatest testimony is to say, I am and forever will be a child of God. That's the greatest thing, church, any of us could ever declare, more than our money, our position, our possessions, is to say, I am a Christian because he came and he knocked on my door. You know, the thing about Jesus, so to me, so precious, is most of us didn't go out seeking him. Would I agree to that? I mean, not until our heart was changed to start seeking him. We were living our lives doing our thing, doing it our way, and with no regard to life, with no regard to God, with no regard to the consequence, just doing our thing. What felt good to the flesh, we did, and we liked it, and we enjoyed it, and we didn't want to change. But then the grace of Jesus showed up and began to knock on our hearts, begin to stir our spirit, and begin to speak to us in our ear to let us know, I've got something better for you. I've got something the world can't give you. I've got something you'll pass from death into life. You think you're fulfilling pleasures now, but they all pass away. You're never fulfilled. What I have for you, you will never thirst again. Jesus said, those that seek after me, seek after, you know, hunger after thirst and righteousness, they shall be filled. And so when we seek after that, and we say, Lord, I want more of you than what I want in the world, God will fill you with that. It's like Randy said last Wednesday night. I loved what he said. He says, you can be as close to God as you want to be. As you want to be. How close do we want to be to God? Because we decide that through our prayer life, through the time we spend with him and his word, through spending time in his presence. Are we tuning the world out and tuning God in, or are we tuning God out and tuning the world in? That dictates a lot of where we are spiritually. But there's a future. This is where God's having, because I see a generation, especially, and I've been saying it's this under 30 generation, that's growing up with such a different set of values than any generation before it. Now, church, I know it's always been bad. You know, I know in you know, my mom and dad's generation, it was John Lennon and the flower children and the pot smoking and the free love and all that. I understand that there's a lot of bad stuff there. You know, then we move into the 80s. My generation growing up as a teen, where you had the long-haired bands, looked like women and wore tight leather pants and had piercings. And you couldn't tell if it was a girl or a guy, but you still worship them, right? I mean, woo, Axl Rose, baby, woo, sweet child of mine. You know, we love that. And so we had that movement come through. You know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Then we got in the rap movement of the 90s, when it really got into the rap and all the coarse lyrics and all the degrading lyrics of women and all the junk that's in all of that. And America's been swept up with this. You can't go by any parking lot and not hear it going. I mean, it's everywhere. Gets on my nerves. I used to like it, but I grew up. And I was like, man, can't we all kind of do that? Example. You know, I like doing this. Here comes Don, walking to the church, sitting in the chair like he's up on a perch, wearing some glasses, hair looks gray. I hope that Don Childers has a good day. How hard is that? I can make $1 million off that. It's called the Don Dance. I mean, really? It don't take much. But we got millions of people just talking. Now, I know it takes, you got to have a little rhythm, and you have a little style. I'd have to have some bling on, you know, and my chest all sweaty, and the lights flashing, the fog, you know, hieroglyphics or whatever you call it. I understand that. But I mean, really? We call this talent, but yet America's been swept by it. Now we're in this generation of where young people are living for themselves with no governing rules anymore. Nothing to surrender to. It's just what I want to do. We've gotten to such a generation of just doing their bodies what they want, living their lives like they want, no authority, not submitting to any authority like they want, saying, you know what, it's my life. You don't understand. It's a different movement right now. But there's a consequence to pay because we're not going to always be here. There's a future church that's waiting on us. And as I preached this morning, as you know, a very simple but a very profound message, are you born again? That was the title of my message, Pastor. Are you born again? And what Jesus told Nicodemus, except the man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. And we have a lot of, religion, powerless religion. Just powerless religion. Just going through the motions with no conviction of the Holy Spirit to produce change. Because we don't want to feel uncomfortable because it makes us feel uncomfortable. Right? And so we just, I don't want that. That's too much for me. I don't want to, you know. I love it this morning. I had a couple, well, just one. Only one was honest. And I won't call their name. But one went by me while I was shaking hands going, ouch, ouch. I'm like, you know what? Somebody heard something. Somebody heard that. We can't pretend there's another way to get there but through the cross. Jesus was clear on that, church. And our end is coming on the earth. Every one of our ends will come. Whether it's on this side of the grave or whether we just are changed in the moment, twinkling of an eye. But we're going to come to our end here. And what's important is where's it go from there? What's waiting on us? What is so great about being a Christian? What is so wonderful about serving Jesus? What's the payoff, preacher? What's the payoff of having to say no to all this stuff in the world and live for Jesus? What's the payoff? There's a great payoff. And we're going to read about that in 1 Peter. Look at it, chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy... Not our works, not our good behavior, not our denominational name, not who we were born into, but through His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection. Oh, go back one, Jeremy. To a lively hope by the resurrection of, I believe it says Jesus, yes, of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's talk about this a minute. We have a lively hope, a hope that's living. It's not a hope based on, I hope it happens. It's a hope based on, it will happen. It's an expected awaiting. It's an eager expectation that we can take comfort in. That it's not about if, it's about when. It's not about or, it's about it'll happen. This lively hope, we can carry this every day that no matter what we face, I've got a lively hope that I'm going to go beyond this rim because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because He rose, He gave me hope. Imagine this. He comes out of the tomb the third day, and if you were outside that rock when He walked out, that hole in the cave, as He walked out, if we were standing there, He could have handed us cards that says, hope, hope. You now have hope. You now have hope. You now have hope. Brother, you now have hope. You have hope of never dying because I conquered death. Because I rose, and I'm going to prove myself. And I love what Jesus did. He didn't just poof, disappear, and go away. He showed Himself for 40 days. He walked around. Hey, disciple Tim, are you? Yeah, I'm the one you saw on the cross. But, yeah, I'm Him. But you were in there for three days. Did you? Yeah, I died. I was gone. No heartbeat. They put the paddles on me. Nothing came back. I'm gone. 3 days, I'm dead. Let me see your hand. Yep, there's the nails. Let me see. There's the nails. Jesus, that is you. The same Jesus that died on the cross was the same Jesus that came alive again, that rose the third day. You know what that does for us? It ensures us of a resurrection. Each one of us are ensured that we will raise from this earthly vessel of decay and perish to an everlasting mode of life. I mean, we're going to live forever. We're not going to, death cannot have us. That's why Christians should never be afraid. Death cannot have us. Pain can come to our bodies. Sickness can attack us. Fear can come against our minds. But man, the devil cannot take the soul that you have given to Christ Jesus. He just can't touch it. It's a done deal. Hands off. When the death angel comes to try to attack and it sees the blood, it says, I can't take that. That's secure. That's done with. I can't have that soul. It goes on and lives forevermore. Our soul's what's important. The Bible says, don't worry what a man can do to your body, but worry who can destroy body and soul. Who can affect your soul? Jesus gave us a lively hope through the resurrection from the dead. Next scripture, Jeremy. I love this. To an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, it fadeth not away, and is reserved in heaven for you. Here's this promise we have. It can't be changed. It can't rot away. It's not going to decay away. It's going to go on and on forever, waiting on us to meet it. Waiting ahead of time. Reserved and set aside. That's the price, or that's the reward we get for the price that we pay. To know I have an inheritance that's never going to pass away. It's never going to decay. It's immovable. It's unchangeable. It's unshakable. That's what we have waiting on us. That when our eyes close here, we see this. The reward God has waiting. See, church, as Christians, death is no longer a part of our vernacular. We've escaped that penalty and judgment of death and hell because of the blood of Jesus. Man, it's rescued us. Man, to know that I'll never be separated from God all of my days. The Bible says, nor death, nor life, principalities or powers, angels, things present, things to come, any creature can separate me from the love of Christ. Think how powerful a moment it is when a person transfers from death into life through the cross. They have canceled out the death penalty that was waiting on them. Each one of us was born with an appointment with death. And I'm talking about spiritual death. So nobody be confused. I understand many go by the way of the grave, and there'll be a generation that won't. The Bible's clear on that. There'll be a generation that's alive that will not face that. But when we were born into the world with a death appointment. Already, it was there. Because God knows all things. A death, but we were born in sin, so we were born with a death appointment. But when we came to the cross and we asked Jesus to be the Lord of our lives, the old Dr. Devil had to get his little book, the appointment book out, and scratch it out. I won't be seeing Mike Benfield. His appointment's been canceled. And you know what happens? Then God takes another book and writes it in his book. And in that book it stays forever and ever. The Lamb's Book of Life. There's something about grace that if people understood what it really was, why would anyone refuse it? But it comes down to this. Acknowledging you need it. And acknowledging that you don't deserve anything good. Because we don't. I'm amazed. I'm still amazed, Pastor, that people come to hear me preach. That's humbling that they come here. I'm like, there's a car pulling in. There's two cars. There's four cars. Oh my gosh. I still get giddy. That's why you always see me at the door lurking like some kind of stalker. Because I get so excited. I'm like, oh, there's Amanda. There's Joe. There's Amy. There's Don. There's Barbara. I'm just amazed. I'm like, God, I don't deserve. I just don't deserve to be used. Because I fail you so many times over and over and over. Do I fail you? I don't listen. I disobey. I get caught my own way. I fuss about y'all sometimes, Melanie. I say that out loud. Y'all got a better pastor. He don't do that, I'm sure, to Sandra. And so I'm like, God, yet you still love me. And you still use me. That's grace. Grace stepped into our lives. And it's like I said this morning. And a lot of folks, I don't think, liked it because I think it hit a chord. Each one of us should remember. It may hit a chord some of y'all tonight, so don't get offended. Just listen. Each one of us should remember the moment we got born again. It shouldn't be some kind of, well, at some time when I was, I don't know, back in my teens, I just started doing better. There ought to be a moment we can point back to and say, this is when I came to the cross. And I bowed my knees and asked Jesus to be my Lord, and I knew my inheritance was secure the rest of my life. I've heard Mom and Dad talk about when they got saved, so I know. I've told you when I got saved, I know. Melanie's told you when she's got saved, she knows. I've heard Grandma and Grandpa's story when they got saved. I've heard Angela's story. I've heard a lot of your stories. You know the moment you gave your heart to Jesus. I was teasing this morning, Pastor, a little bit about how some folks don't remember because they've been saved 20 times. You know what I'm saying? How we keep getting saved over and over and you lose count. Understand, you only get born again once. Truly born again once. Now, yes, we repent, we rededicate, all that. But you get into the family one time. And when we're born in the family, church, we're in the family of God forever. And the devil fights that with Christians and reminds you of how do you know, and you do so much wrong, yeah, but Jesus did so much right. And it just, my merit's not in what I've done. My righteousness is not what I've done. My glory is not what I've done. It is the hope of Christ in me is the glory. That's what Paul said. Hope of Christ in me. And so when I appear, and see, a lot of folks don't understand this. When you have been born again, you have passed from judgment into everlasting life. There's no more judgment, church. There's a lot of people still teach that. That you're going to stand before God. You're in a waiting room somewhere, number 22, and you walk in, and there's this list, and, yeah, I got saved, God, and there, it's still a question. It's not a question at that point. Church, you're either in them or out of them before you leave the earth. You're saved or lost when you leave here. There's nothing happens after this. And this is what the good news is. You can be secure in your salvation today and rejoice in it and tell the whole world, I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm redeemed, I'm sanctified, I'm glorified forever and ever. But you sin, but I'm sanctified. But you fail, but I'm glorified. But you've fallen more than once. Yeah, but I'm forgiven forevermore. That's what grace is. The blood has set me free, and I'm free all of my days. That's part of what grace does. And we need to recognize that, understand that. We have passed from, and some religious folks, they get mad. You shouldn't be saying that. What do you mean you won't be judged? The Bible says I won't. Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation. That means judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. I passed judgment of sin because I'm covered by the blood here. Remember when the death angel came through Egypt and they put the blood on the doorpost? And the angel came through, and God told Moses, if they see the blood, it'll pass by. You know what happened? Judgment passed by them. They were still sinners. I mean, they still messed up, still failed. But when the death angel came and saw the blood, it went on by. They escaped the judgment and wrath of God because of the blood. We too, church, have escaped the judgment and wrath of God through the blood. I'm his child. Forever. And when he looks at me, he sees the blood and says, that was not yours. He's mine. As Rodney opened up with, don't believe the lies of the devil, because that's what he tells you. There are so many Christians living in fear the day they die if they're going to make it in or not. David, even when he failed, remember David failed big time. I love reading people that fail. It makes me feel better about myself. Ain't that human nature? David failed. Adultery, murder, lying. I mean, he just fell off the wagon. But when he began to repent, here's what he said. Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Not my salvation. The joy. He had lost fellowship with God. There was broken fellowship because of sin. But there was never broken sonship because of sin. He was still a child of God. Restore to me the joy. Let's enjoy our salvation and not worry every single day. You know, I talk to people, man, you better hope things are right. And that trumpet sound, boy, you bet. Look, if it's up to James Lewis to hear the trumpet, I'm gone. I'm dead. I'm lost, and I'm like the Wicked Witch of the West. I'm in flames because I can't do it myself, church. It's nothing about what I do. It's about what Jesus did. And when Jesus' blood was shed, and I accepted that blood, I became part of the family. And the penalty and judgment for sin over my life, talking about sin to be sentenced to hell, was passed over. And no longer I am free in Him and free in grace forevermore. Because I have a place waiting on me. See, it says here, I'm sorry, go back, Jeremy. It says here that we have an inheritance. Oh, that's me. Sorry. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Some kind of weather. I'm so sorry. I know I don't have my phone on me. I've been carrying it close since Jamie's been gone, just in case he calls. I just didn't think to take it out. Boy, I look bad in front of this church, don't I? Good God. I thought God would sound the alarm. Get ready. Let's roll. Be all right with me. Well, Melon's at home. I guess I'll see you on the other side. What's going in? Now, I want you to look at this. If this inheritance we have is incorruptible, undefiled, and reserved in heaven, how can it be any other way? It's undefiled. It's reserved. Remember what Jesus, or what Paul said about that we receive the Holy Spirit? It's the earnest. It's the down payment until that day of redemption. It's the down payment. It means the Holy Spirit secures our soul until full redemption. Secures us. And we can walk in that security. This reward I have, it doesn't pass away. It's waiting, reserved for each of us that have went through the cross. It's worth living a life for Jesus because the life that comes after it is amazing and wonderful and eternal and glorious. It's a life where there'll be no sickness and no more tears and no more fear, no more sorrow. We know all that. It's a life that will be completely restored again into the image we were meant to be in the very beginning with none of this junk that we have to face. It's reserved for us. Next verse. Who are kept. We're kept by the power of God. That's how we're kept. Not by our works. We're kept by the power of God. Now understand this. Like I preached this morning. Grace has been taught two extreme ways. There's been messages taught that it's grace and there have been messages it's grace, but you can do what you want because you're under grace. You said a prayer, you're good. Church, I don't want anybody to be deceived. If there's been no transformational change in your life, nothing's happened to your heart. You can't just say a prayer, Jesus, forgive me, and then nothing happens. We just keep doing the same thing we always did. It's like I said this morning, if you weren't here this morning, it's like me saying, you know, I am a mechanic. I declare myself in the name of Jesus, I am an auto mechanic. I fix transmissions. I can take out rear ends and put them back. I can do whatever you need me. I am a mechanic. I profess I'm a mechanic. I'm looking to get gas in the right hole. You don't want to bring your car to me. My church knows I'm no mechanic. They can say it all they want. I can put a sign in my yard. Mechanic on the side. Pull up. I'll give you a free estimate. Ain't nobody going to pull my driveway that knows me. They'll leave with a worse car than when they brought it in. I'm telling you. So because we declare something doesn't mean it's so. The fruit bears it out of what we are. And so when it comes to salvation, when it comes to true grace produces the works of God in our lives. Works does not save us. But salvation produces good works in our lives. We will be followers of Christ. There'll be an evident change in our lives when we have been born again. People are hiding too much behind. Well, I said a prayer when I was four, but they live like the devil. Do not be deceived. As we taught out of Matthew 7, which will be very special to the Caris Church, Matthew 7, depart from me. I never knew you. And Mike, I think about that a lot, brother, as a pastor, when it says, I've prophesied in your name, I've prayed in your name. I thought, man, Lord, whew, I want to be right. I want to make sure my heart's right. Salvation is secure for those who have been born again. But there must be a born-again experience. Like we talked about Zacchaeus, how he went and paid everybody back. The woman of the well went and told her family. You know, Paul completely changed his whole, when God touched people, they changed. There was a difference. And I want no one to be deceived into thinking that just a confession alone with no evidence of fruit, it just doesn't mean a whole lot if it doesn't produce fruit. And so we're in a generation that's hiding, I think, behind that Christian cause of, you know, I've said a prayer, I go to church, but they're not following God's word. Jesus says, those that do the will of my Father, not the ones that just say, Father, Father, but the ones who do the will of my Father. He's talking about the heart. The heart's got to change. And when the heart changes, it's evidence you're different. You know, I remember Grandma's told a story through the years many times about my grandpa when he got saved and set free. And there was an immediate change in his life. Grandpa wasn't too bad a man, but he wasn't saved. And there were things and habits in his life that when he got saved, he stopped. Like that. Stopped. Because God changed him. When God touches you, you're not the same person. I mean, when he really touches you. And you know, this morning, me and someone were talking after service, and we had the altar call, and, you know, I felt walls up this morning. I felt walls. And there was such an anointing of pulling this morning, but there was a wall fighting that. And it really bothered me after service because I felt the Holy Spirit convicting and drawing. But the walls that people set up don't want to let them in. They just don't want to quite let them all in. Because if they really let all of God in, they might be different. And they're scared of that. There's nothing greater than letting God get all of you. I mean all of you. And not having any walls of God. And I don't know about this. And I don't know about, you know. Enough God not to feel guilty, but not enough God to be changed. And man, if we can allow the Holy Spirit to really change us, just allow remember the skit we showed you on YouTube, the God's chisel, as he stands there and God begins to chisel away the lust and chisel away. He's like, I don't lust. Then he says, well, maybe a little. Okay, maybe a lot. God knows what we need. Let him chisel our lives. Let him chisel it away, because when he chisels it away, then all of a sudden this beautiful piece of art appears, his image. And that should be all of our desire, church, is to reflect Christ in the right way. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Our faith in Christ keeps us. And God keeps us. See, here's the good news, that we are kept by the power of God. Our salvation, our future is kept in the hands of God. He holds on to that for us. Because remember what Paul says, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. In other words, I gave the Lord my soul, my spirit, my eternity. God, I give you all of me. He's able to keep that all of my days. It's not up to me to keep it. He's got it in his hands, church. Jesus has my salvation, and in the last days it will be fully revealed and realized when the end meets the beginning and I see him face to face. Faith is what keeps my salvation, not me. I can't lose something that I didn't gain on my own. Jesus, because of his grace, gave it to me. It's never been a works program. It's been a faith program. But faith will produce good works. Next verse, Jeremy. Look at this. Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know what? We're going to have battles, and we're going to have storms. You're going to have things you don't want to go through. Somebody spoke up this morning and says they had a lady they wanted us to pray for that had this question. She's starting to doubt God because of this. She said, good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people. And it's not fair. Let's talk about fair. It's not fair that Jesus paid such a price for me. That's not fair. It's not fair there was 39 stripes on his back, with leather whips with pieces of bone, and every time it went in and come out, it ripped flesh out of his back. Tied to a whipping post, never opened his mouth. It's not fair they spit on the Son of God, pulled his hair, put thorns upon him, mocked him. I mean, man, he was God in the flesh. He could do whatever he wanted. Boom, get away from me, and they've been destroyed. He could do whatever he wanted. But like a lamb to the slaughter, as the Bible says, he opened not his mouth. But he was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. By his stripes I am healed. That's what's not fair. That this perfect Jesus, who did no wrong, who knew no sin, but became sin, that I could become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. He was beaten for me. So here's what I tell you to people that have that. If that's you tonight, here's what I tell you. Bad things are going to happen to good people. Church, my car breaks down. I've had to get new transmissions. Water pipes have busted in my house. I've had kids give me a hard time, and money problems, and wife problems, and church problems, and hair problems, like Rodney departing. We got problems. I can't see without glasses. We got problems. We got issues. But man, here's the good news. It just lasts for a little while. It's so temporary. Give me the trials and problems here that I see God forever, then give me the world of peace here and I'm lost forever. That's what counts. Is the next step's the only thing that really matters to a Christian, or should be the next step. Life everlasting. The next step. This is why folks, they get older, start getting tired, they're ready to go home. And we don't want them to. No, Daddy, hang on. No, honey, hang on. I need you. I'm ready to go home. But I mean, I love you, but man, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to see Jesus. I'm tired of suffering. I'm tired of this. I'm ready to wear a crown. I'm ready to move on. That's waiting on us. The future God has waiting on us far outweighs any battle we fight right now. And that's what we need to remind ourselves of. Though I go through manifold temptation, though there's trials that attack my life, I am still redeemed. I am still blood bought. I still will not die. I'll never be in hell. I'll never be lost. I'm still the blood bought child of God. And nothing in this world can ever change that. Nothing can erase that. My name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. And a water pipe busting, who cares? A big bill comes I can't pay, oh well. It just don't matter. It gets to the point, it just don't matter. Because God is the most important thing we have. And we can encourage ourselves by saying, every day I live, I'm closer to the reward God has reserved and waiting on me in heaven. Every day, I'm closer. I'm just closer to being there. I used to have a little joke I would tell, especially older people. I'd say, man, you know, I'm just so old, man. You're not old. Don't worry, brother. You ain't old. I'm just closer to home. Kind of has a better ring to it, don't it? You're not old, just closer to home. We are going to live forever. Mankind has been trying to find the fountain of youth forever, right? We have all these things. We take stuff out of our body and we shape ourselves and we stick ourselves with needles to get younger. And, you know, we want to live forever. And mankind's trying to, we do live forever as Christians. Our soul goes on forever. And man, when you know that you're not going to face that appointment of death, talking about spiritual death, it gives you a lot of hope today to keep on going. Doesn't matter, devil, what you bring. I've got something waiting on me that you can't ever have and ever steal and ever take away from me. Ever. But in the generation we're in, it's such a temporal, now generation, we're not thinking about tomorrow. We're only thinking about today. This life and what's going to attack this nation and what's coming in the next few years, It's not going to be the same world we knew 30 or 40. Church is not going to be the same. And it's creeping into the church world as well. Pastor, it's creeping into our churches that teach such a powerless, contemporary. We've gotten away from preaching the word. Because you know what? You know what draws the crowds? The contemporary. Feel good preaching. And church, I think I like to feel good. And you know what? To know I'm saved, I feel good. I feel good, good, good in my soul. I feel good, good, good because I've been made whole. Well, I feel good, good, good. I feel good, good, good. I feel so good because I'm saved. Remember, it don't go like that, but there used to be a song like that. But anyway, I feel good because I'm saved. And we want to It's like I said a few weeks ago. There's a lot of good things to preach on and teach on. And we cover a lot of topics. We do a lot of things. But it's always anchored in the Word of God. You want to have a successful marriage? It's in the Word. You want to have good children? It's in the Word. You want to be blessed on your job? It's in the Word. You want to be in good health? That's in the Word. I mean, everything goes back to preaching the Word. Why do we need all these other zillion resources and we've left the Bible behind? Break out the Bible again. Blow off the dust and realize it is still relevant for today. God's Word has not changed. Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not changed. It still is relevant. And I hear people tell me, you know, Pastor, you know, we don't talk about, you know, what does Jonah and the whale got to do with me? Oh, my Lord, a lot. How many Jonahs you know? Rebellious. I don't want to do what you want to do, God. I don't like them people. I'm going to go this way and take a vacation on the coast. No, you're not. You're going to go preach. I don't want to preach, but you go preach. And then when they got saved, he still wasn't happy. It's funny, huh? It's very relevant to today. Dave in the lion's den. Very relevant. Dave in the lion's den. Daniel in the lion's den. Dave and the giant. All those are stories that are relevant for our lives today. How many's got a giant in front of you that you need slayed? How many lions are after you trying to devour your life? And God can shut them. Everything's relevant. And if we start preaching the Word again and start walking and operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's what it's going to take to break strongholds. Church, I'm not trying to attack. I'm just trying to say too much patty cake leads to only one thing, a fun game, but no change. We're fighting spiritual warfare. We're not fighting just somebody we can see. We're fighting spirits that are trying to get into your home, into your mind, into your children, into your lives. And we need something stronger than a patty cake message. We need to be preaching the power and the blood and the authority of Jesus Christ. He says, I come to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free, those at liberty. That's what he came to do, and he still wants to do that. He still wants to unlock your chains, break your addictions, break the power of sin over your life. He still can do it if we will bring it to him. Say, God, as Ivy sung, I cry out to you, Jesus. I cry out to you. I need you. Go to the next scripture, Jeremy. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That's our final redemption. Our faith is going to lead us to our final inheritance. Next verse. Gird up the loins of your mind. This means guard them. Means get on guard. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in who? God. Our faith and hope's in God. Not in us. Not in what we do. Not in our churches. It's in God. My faith and my hope is in the Lord. And he is able to keep what I've given him, my life, all of my days. It's in his hands, church. He's got it. And that's a wonderful thing to know. That I, even when I mess up, I'm his child. Do not let religious folks take away the peace of mind you have of being a Christian. Because they love pointing out what you've done wrong. And that's what you say, that's why I'm under grace. There is no man, the Bible says, no flesh will be justified in his sight by the works of the flesh. We can't do it by the works of the flesh. It's only through the work of grace that we have this inheritance. Next scripture, Jeremy. Being born again. We talked about that this morning. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed. I love this. Look at this. But of incorruptible. This means when I am born again in Jesus, that seed cannot be corrupted. It cannot perish. It cannot die. It's an eternal, everlasting seed that I was born again into by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know what happened? The Lord did surgery on us. Before the cross, we're dying, we're decaying, we're lost. We go to the altar and we drop to our knees, and God does a surgical work right there. He takes out that seed of corruption and perishableness and replace it with his seed of incorruptibleness and unperishable. And I'll walk away with a new heart that'll be pounding all of my days, never stopping. That's what Jesus did. Next scripture. That's it. Thank you. We have a place waiting and reserved because we, church, we're living forever. There's a whole spiritual world around us we can't see, an old dimension right now, active dimension happening around us we can't see. There's angelic beings, there's spiritual beings, there are demonic spirits that are all around that need a place to abide in. And if we don't fill that place with God, it'll be filled with the devil. He will find our opening and come in. That's why it's important that we fill our place with God, allowing Him to be inside of us, pushing all that junk away from us. Away. I want you to be encouraged. You're going to have storms. You're going to have battles. You're going to have fights. We're going to lose folks that we love. But understand what's waiting on us. Is that song, I'll fight the last battles. I cross that river and I'll lay it down. We have an inheritance waiting on us that's reserved. You ain't going to lose it, church. You're not going to lose it if you're in Him. It's there. So be encouraged and be strong and walk in joy of your salvation. And joy of your faith. God is good all the time, church does. His mercy endureth forever. Right now, the ark door is still open for mankind. It's open. Christian, go up there and go to video file. Pull up redeemed. You now do that, right? The video file. Pull up redeemed. I want to play a song. We'll play a song in closing. Y'all know this song. I've been singing it for a while. Redeemed. And I just want to... It's been one of them days. I want to open the altar up. And I know we don't do this all the time. But I want to open it up tonight for those of you that... You know, you want to know that that you will be part of that inheritance. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're doubting. Or maybe you've kind of just lost your way a little bit. Or maybe... Like I said this morning, maybe you don't have a born-again moment where you can point back to, I know I've been born again. When did it happen? Well, I don't know. There should be a moment. It should be the most important moment of your life. We can remember we got our first car, our first date, you know, our first pair of Nikes or our first hunting gun or our first fishing rod. And we can't remember when we got saved. If you're here tonight and you just need a touch from God, I want to open up the altar. You just need a refreshing. You need just whatever it is you need. I mean, we're here together as a church family, and we're very blessed to have Caris Church with us. And I'm so glad y'all are with us. I want you to feel at home and feel free tonight to engage in worship, whatever you want to do, pray. And but I just want to open up the altar before we leave this day. I gave the chance this morning. I want to give it again tonight. That, do you know you're going to live forever? Do you really know that you're going to live forever? Or is there a question to that? Is there some doubt? Saying, I don't know if I've had that moment. I don't feel, I just don't know, Pastor. I don't know. And you want to be secure. It's by faith alone we come to Jesus. And we say, Lord, I'm crying out to you. I need you to touch me. I need you to help me. I need you to restore me. I need you to heal the brokenness. I just want to open up for whatever you need, not just salvation tonight, but this altar is open to whatever you need tonight. I want you to leave here with it off of you. It's what the church is for. It's not a social program. It's a place of healing. It's a place where the waters are supposed to be stirred, and all those that are here can step in and get what they need. Some of you may be fighting guilt or shame, grief. I feel that in the church quite a bit. There's grief that some of you are carrying, just kind of a grief spirit that needs to be lifted off. whatever it is that you need, you weren't meant to carry those things. Jesus carried them for you. And you can leave free. You can walk out of these doors free of every shackle and free of every chain if you give it to Jesus. Play that song, Christian. This is Redeemed. I'm up at the altar. If you just need to come pray, we'll give you this opportunity to do that right now. There's nothing more life-changing than being in the presence of God. Nothing more life-changing. I told Christian to pull this one song up. You found it, Christian? You found it? Okay. I know I've been doing this, but I just want to kind of do this as a closing, kind of a closing song that we can just worship to. And I don't know, I felt this morning and I feel it tonight. I feel like there's some walls that are here. It's time for those walls to fall, church. It's time for them to fall. There's nothing behind your side you want to hang on to, I promise. But when you come on the other side, it's a whole new way of life. I want you to be free from all that's got you, all that's got you bound. I want you to be free. Have you got it, Christian? That's good. Go ahead. I want y'all to stand with me. And once again, in closing, I want to open the altar up. And if this, church, I want you to leave here free. It's important you leave here free and not fight what God is wanting to do in your life and not be ashamed to come up. You know, people say, preacher, why have I got to, you don't have to come up. No, you don't have to come up. But man, shouldn't you want to? Ah, shouldn't you want to run to the cross to thank what Jesus done for you? So don't ever let pride stand in the way. Go ahead. This is a beautiful song here. Might be a little delayed. Don't click it too many times. Did it turn blue? There we go. Oh, the blood. Don't leave here the same, church. Don't leave here tonight the same. Doesn't matter how good the word was, how good the fellowship. Nothing matters if life leaves the same as it came in. Oh, the blood. Crimson love. Price of life's demand. Give me some more monitor, Jeremy. Shameful sin placed on him. The hope of every man. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Let it wash you tonight, church. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Church, there's more room up here on the sides, behind these people, in the front rows, the seats. Just get what God has for you tonight. Save your son, Holy One, slain so I can live. See the Lamb, oh, the great I am, who takes away my sin. Glory. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Oh, the blood, it is my victory. Church, lift your hands to him tonight and just praise him, y'all out there. Give him worship tonight. He's worthy of our praise. It says to lift your hands in the sanctuary. Thank him for what he's done. Some of you, he has set free and delivered and changed you forever. He's healed you of cancer, broke you of addiction, healed you of heart problems, saved your child. Give him praise tonight. Christ that saved my life. Oh, the blood, it is my victory. Lord, move in this place. I want, Lord, the walls need to come down. Just draw, Father. Draw in a strong way that lives just surrender. Say, I'm tired of fighting. I'm done. I'm ready to give it all. Greater love. Grace, how can it be?
that in my sin, yes, even then, He shed His blood for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Yes, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. What a sacrifice, Lord, You saved this life. Oh, the blood, it is my victory. It is my victory, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, thank You for Your presence that is here, and Your love and Your mercy and Your stronghold breaking power that is here. Lord, I just pray hearts and minds open up to receive all that You have, and they may think they've got what they need or have arrived at the end of their destination, but Lord, there's always more You want to pour upon our lives. There's always more oil yet to come out of the vase. There's always more knowledge and more revelation and more word and more strength and more peace and more joy and more power and more anointing. God, there's always more as we just seek Your face. And I just pray that we open up to receive in this season what You have for us. The manna of yesterday does us no good today, God. It's dried up and gone. We need manna today, manna tomorrow, manna the next day. Every day we need fresh manna. Let us open our hearts to receive every day what You have for us. Not depend on something we've hung on to for 50 years, but God, every day seek Your face for something fresh. You said Your mercies are new every morning, God. Something new every day for our lives, we ask that. We thank You for this service tonight and Your word. And Lord, we thank You for the covenant we have in You, the promise of the future and a crown and a prize that doesn't ever fade away, God, but that You have waiting reserved for us, that when our time is done on the earth, we will begin to live and reign with You forever and ever. It's worth living for You, Jesus. It's so worth following You. And I pray hearts will turn to You and seek redemption. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to be seated for just a minute. Thank you all for coming out tonight.